I work at Target, but I actually work here. I just thought this was a nice Christmas outfit. And then Tori was like, hey, Brian, it looks like you work at Target. And that is not true. I work here. And for those of you that don't know me, let me tell you who I am and what I get to do here. My name is Brian Colligan, and I get to serve with our students, which is why there are so many of them in here this morning. And selfishly, that is 100% for me. I feel most comfortable when I'm around students. And so the rest of you might be uncomfortable because there are students near you. For me, that's my happy spot. That is where I feel best. And so as Jimmy asked me, hey, Brian, would you preach this morning? I said, sure, but can I invite the students in? And graciously, he said, yes. And I'm also trying to get in my notes and set this up because I like to wander. And so I need home base to come back to as we speak this morning. But this morning, I get to talk about Christ as King, Christ the King. And as I was told this message was the one I was going to get to preach, I was like, man, this is exciting. Really, really pumped about it. But honestly, it didn't well up any sort of excitement or anything. I was like, Christ is King. Christ is King. And so as we talk this morning, one of the things I hope to do for you, and this is kind of my outline for the morning, is communicate to you three immutable truths of Christ. And why he is a king that we should trust, but then also understand that his kingdom is vast and huge and uncomprehendable. And then with that, what do we do? So as we jump in this morning, I want to first just kind of speak to you of just how nervous I am. And also too, that being Christ is the King gives me so much confidence. So first off, I'm nervous this morning. I told Kate Chisholm, who was sitting next to me, my palms are sweaty right now, and they are. I am sweating profusely under this long sleeve shirt right now. I am nervous, but what gives me confidence is knowing that Christ is over all of this. And so whatever I say today, I pray that it is God's word that you hear and not Brian's. And this morning, we're going to have some students actively involved in our worship service. We're going to have some students come up and read. We're going to have some students pray. At the end of service, we've got a student doing the benediction. And so also to church, what I hope you see this morning is that at this church, St. Andrew, there is an active living faith that exists every Sunday within our students. It's not just something that happens at 9:30 in the gyms, but it is active, it is moving, and our students are actively engaged as a part of the church. They are not the church of tomorrow. They're not the church of the future. They are the church today. And so I thank you for inviting them into this service. If this is normally where you sit and some middle schooler or some high schooler has taken your seat, operate in grace. These are my friends. Let them go to the bathroom. I don't care. They go to the bathroom all the time. If they're on their phone, don't worry about it. Maybe they're looking up a scripture. Maybe they're commenting on my Instagram. All are good things, okay? Let them be, and I'm thankful for them being in here, but also I want you to understand the greatness and the leadership that they get to display this morning. So as we jump into the message, one of the things students know about me is I love to tell a good story, and so this morning I'd like to start with a story. Stories are the currency of encouragement. It's the best way I can encourage you, and so if you will, I'm going to share a story about a time where I caught a glimpse. I didn't see all of it, but I caught a glimpse of God's kingdom. Years ago, I was on a mission trip in Mexico with several students. I had a group of about 15. And we had ridden up the mountain to this mountain village, and me and all the students were experiencing elevation sickness. So we were kind of not great. I had what I call the altitudes, right? It just felt like there was a lot of gas in there. And so wasn't feeling great. Students weren't feeling great. We had eaten some bad chicken the night before. And so we were up in this mountain village, and our students every day would put on this grand Spanish VBS. And so we brought in the village. We had over 100 kids come in for this VBS. And then they were like, okay, Brian, it's your turn. You're going to get up to preach. And I did not preach well. I preached with a translator. But this is the moment where I started to see and catch a glimpse of the heaven and the grandeur of the kingdom of God. Was as we're standing there, after I finished preaching, the students would get up and sing. And so they get up and they start to sing, and our translator knew the song, and he started singing in Spanish. And then the pastor started singing in Spanish. And then the whole congregation. Now picture this, right? It's the sun's going down. There is one light in the whole village, and it's right over the pulpit of the church, right? Just one light, not all these fancy lights, nothing, just one light. There, it's an open church, and so there's chickens running through, there's children running through. And yet there's this beautiful harmony that's happening as our students are singing in English and as our village of people are singing in Spanish, and just this beauty that started to happen around me, that as I go, hey, none of this had to do with me. This is 100% God. And we are all here, and it's not fancy. It's nothing special. And yet I felt the
the kingdom of God was very close, very evident, because it transcended the word, it transcended language, and it was right there present. And so this morning, as I'm going to try for you to feebly communicate and give you an opportunity to experience the kingdom of God and the kingship of Jesus. And I'll be honest, as I said this morning, like Christ the King didn't really well up any sort of emotion for me, because I don't think any pastor I've ever listened to or any sermon I've ever read has ever truly, for me, captured the kingdom of God. And this morning, my hope is that I can do that. And so let's continue on. So this morning, I've got a quick passage of scripture I'm going to have Kate Chisholm come up and read. It's from the book of Isaiah. So Isaiah is talking about Jesus. He's a prophet, and he's telling us of who is to come. And so Kate, yeah, come on up. You're good. She's going to read it for us. If you don't know Kate Chisholm, I'm going to brag on Kate Chisholm for a second, because I get to. Yeah, cheer her up. Thank you. Thank you. There's the hype squad, Kate. Kate is a freshman at Shepton High School. She plays for Plano West basketball. Phenomenal athlete, phenomenal student, but also just a phenomenal follower of Jesus. And so why don't you read the passage for us this morning?
Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Thank you, Kate. Good job. Hey, guys, clap it up. Like, like, understand how intimidating that is to stand on this stage and read a scripture. Brody, get ready. You're coming up soon. Just, you know, no pressure. But think about that. Like, as a teenager, you just read, Kate, scripture to the entire church. Anyway, let me unpack that for a little bit, because I think within that scripture, we can find some truths about who Jesus is. And if we know him as king, then these truths have to be spoken. But not only these truths, if these are truth, then they should radically change our lives. And so the first thing I want to point out is that Jesus doesn't math. Like, he doesn't math at all. And what I mean by that is I will say that I don't camp. Like, I literally mean I don't camp. Like, you should never take Brian on a camping trip. I once burned poison ivy, got it in my bloodstream. It's a whole other sermon and story, okay? But I don't camp. And you'll hear students be like, nah, I don't science, right? Like, I don't do that whole science thing. Like, I'm a history guy, or I don't math. Well, Jesus doesn't math. And what I mean by that is Jesus is 100% man, but he's also 100% God. So how can he be 200% of something? He doesn't math. He exceeds math's fundamental understanding of 1 + 1 = 2. Instead, what Jesus said is 1 + 1 = me. Is I am eternally begotten. I am God, but I am also intimate. I am known as man. I am Jesus. I am God in the flesh. He defies math. In fact, Jesus also doesn't English. Like, as I was trying to write this sermon, I kept thinking about, well, what tense do I use of Jesus? He was, he is, he's going to be, and yet he's also, in all three tenses, active, right? Like in the Greek and the Hebrew, it's crazy, because he's the only one that can be all three but also active at the same time, and English can't even really capture that. So he doesn't math, and not only that, our basic understanding of English, the way that we interpret the world and communicate, can't even keep up with what Jesus is capable of. So Jesus doesn't just not math, he doesn't English, and he also doesn't time. See, Jesus existed as with God in the beginning and will exist even past the end. He defies time. So Jesus, this king, doesn't math, he doesn't English, he doesn't time. That sounds amazing. Like, if I was in high school, like 100% I'd want to be Jesus, because I could just easily pass math because I defy it. I could easily pass English because they can't capture me. And time doesn't exist. Like, it's amazing, right? This is this Jesus. This is the king that we get to serve. This is the king that, if these are true, then what does it mean? How do we engage with it? Let me read for you real quick a passage from Revelation, right? So we heard from Kate, which was from Isaiah, talking about the Jesus that is to come. Revelation is his return. It says this: In verse 15, the seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there was a loud voice in heaven which said, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and our Messiah, and his reign will be forever and ever." So if Jesus exists and defies all these things, then so too does his kingdom. That his kingdom is so large and so vast that our minds, our brains can't even comprehend it. Because even, again, our most basic understanding of math, English, and time, how we engage with the universe, he transcends. He is over. And so what do we do with this truth? How do we engage with it? And maybe some of you this morning, you're hearing this for the first time, and you're going, okay, I'm struggling with that. How do I have confidence in a kingdom I can't see, in a man that I never met? How can I have confidence in that? And this morning, I'm going to invite Brody up. He's going to come and read a second passage to us. And this one's from Luke. And I asked him to come and read this today because it is one of those verses that, one, sets up our season of Christmas incredibly well. But it also is one of those verses that gives me confidence. It assures me of this Jesus. And so this is Brody. You got to grab the mic. All right. Brody is a sophomore at Shepton High School. He plays football. He's huge. Look at the size of this kid next to me. You're making me feel super short right now, which is totally fine. But he's going to read this passage from Luke, and then I'll tell you a little more about it. Go for it.
Luke 1:28-33.
Yes, sir. You're good. You're good, man.
The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end."
Thanks, Brody. I'm going to hand this mic over down here. Yeah, clap it up. Like, again, the bravery it takes to step on this stage and read and talk in front of your peers is incredibly intimidating. But the reason I have him share that passage, right, which is the foretelling of Jesus by an angel, is because it gives me confidence that I know that Jesus. See, this Jesus that is spoken of in the passage, that the government will be upon his shoulders, that he will reign forever and ever. I know that Jesus. See, I met that Jesus years ago as a student in student ministry. As my life began to take shape and as I started to figure out what my identity was, one of the things that helped me know who I was the fact that Jesus came and died for me. He was a king who laid down his throne so that I could have kingdom, so that I could live with him eternally. And so as I wrestle with this truth of the fact that Jesus doesn't math, he doesn't English, he doesn't time, and that his kingdom exists eternally and is bigger than I am, yet I have confidence because I know that kingdom exists because I know the king. And for many of us this morning, maybe you know the king as well. You know that he is present and you have walked with him for a long time. But for some of you, this may be the first time you've heard of Jesus as this king. And you want to know and experience his kingdom. Well, it's simple. Get to know the king. Get to know him. Develop a relationship with him. And this book that we've read from this morning, the Bible, tells us all about him. The Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John record his life. The book of Acts and the letters from Paul tell us how to live out that life with Jesus. And the Old Testament continues to point to the Savior that is coming. So what do we do with this truth? If Jesus is king and he has an eternal kingdom, the question that I come to, and I hope you do too, is then who really has authority in my life? Who is really the king? Because I think sometimes, and maybe this is just me, we believe that our bubble, our sphere of influence is our kingdom. That this is the place where our kingdom exists. But unfortunately, that is not actually kingdom focused. That's me focused. I'm the king of my world. I've got my bubble. I've got my sphere. And that's fine. But what Christ calls us to, what Christ did, was he goes, "My kingdom is so great, so vast, I'm going to come to earth and dwell. I will lay down my kingship so that you may have a crown, so that you may enter into heaven." And this is the incredible, immutable truth of Jesus, was that he came for you. And in EFW, the belt buckle of the Bible Belt, we like to think that everyone who kind of exists around here or lives around here by default is Christian. And statistics would say, yeah, the majority of people who live in Dallas, Texas are Christian. I'm not sure that's true. But I do think the people that we rub shoulders with, that we allow in our bubble, that we allow in our kingdom, probably are. That we want to influence our space and keep control of our space. And so we relate and we have a kingdom of other believers, people like-minded who kind of look like me, who kind of operate like me. But what kind of kingdom is that? Right? By nature of a bubble, it's limited. By nature of a bubble, it only goes so far. But see, God's kingdom is way larger. God's kingdom is one that looks into eternity, not just in the temporal where your kingdom exists. It belongs and is so much larger than we can ever fathom or ever understand. And yet we try and control our lives. We try and say, I'm a good king. And I know part of the struggle that I have is looking around and going, if he's king of this, then what the heck is going on? Right? If he's king, then what is happening in the world? There's war. There's literally war in Israel right now with Gaza. There is war in my own heart, in my own mind. I battle with my anxiety. I battle with my depression. I battle with my insecurities. There is war even in my spirit, God. What kind of king is this? If he is a great king, then why doesn't he settle the storm like he did for the apostles on the sea? Why doesn't he come and intervene? Because we've owned our kingdoms. We've said, no, we've got it. Israel, which was the first theocracy, right, where God was ruling over it, even they said to God, no, we want a king. We want to be like everybody else. I think too often our heart says the exact same thing. Is Jesus, we know you are better. We know you are big. We know you've got an eternal kingdom. We know that you exist outside of math. You exist outside of time. You exist outside of English. But Lord, I can still do better. And I think that's where I'm left this morning. And that's the question I wrestle with is who truly, if we answer honestly, has authority in your life? Do you submit to God, to Jesus, the King who sits on the right hand of the Father, who advocates for us, who is the propitiation for our sins so that we can come into right relationship with Jesus? Or do you continue to keep your kingdom focus in your bubble? Right? Because if I break it down real quick, right, we just recap. If Jesus is the King prophesied, if he is the one spoken by the angel and is the Messiah, Jesus himself, and he doesn't math, and he doesn't English, and he doesn't time, how much bigger, how much better can his kingdom be if we submit to his authority? Right? Because we can be the king. We can be the king, sure. We have limited knowledge. We have limited understanding. We have limited time. Or we can submit to a king that exists outside of time, that has unlimited knowledge, that is fully human, so he doesn't just know you, he also knows the eternity of life. See, I'm choosing to submit to that king. Because too often, I've tried to be the king of my own domain, of my own bubble, and what does a bubble do? It pops. It falls apart. A friendship goes awry, and my kingdom shrinks. I am imperfect, and so I drive people away, and so my kingdom falls and falters. Instead, I want to serve a king and a kingdom that is far greater, that even if I mess up, if I say the wrong thing on stage, that king is still sovereign, and he is over all of it. So it leads me back to that question of, so who's in authority? And as I said at the beginning of the message, as I talked about Mexico, I caught a glimpse of heaven. A glimpse of his kingdom. And so this morning, I want to give you and offer you that same opportunity. Because anytime I've ever seen the kingdom of God or felt like I caught a glimpse, because believe me, I've never like had a vision or anything of heaven, but I've caught a glimpse of it. It has always happened when I realized just how much bigger Jesus is than me. On the hillside in Mexico, it was because I heard his worship in two different languages. When I've seen it elsewhere, it was at Camp Impact when I watched as students and leaders, two separate generations coming together to worship the same king. Where I felt it this morning was as we worship together, as students, as adults, as leaders, as parents, and as we raised our voices in worship to God, I got a glimpse, right? The curtain was pulled back just a little bit so that I could see the kingdom of God. And this morning, I want to offer you the same thing. And this is how, in my human feeble attempt, we're going to try it. Is after the message and as the band plays, I'm going to ask five students to come up, and they're going to be on either side of the stage. And I ask you to do something that maybe you've never done that is going to feel incredibly uncomfortable, but I invite you into it because I think if you can submit to the authority of God this morning and go, hey, I'm going to think about your kingdom. I'm going to do something a little different. You might just catch a glimpse of heaven. You might just get to know Christ, our King, a little bit more. And so I'm going to have students down here and they're going to pray for you. Which feels weird, right? Like potentially you're an adult and maybe you're quite a few years older than any of these students up here. And yet we're going to submit both the student and you to pray for one another and pray for God. And if you don't know what to pray, say the Lord's Prayer. Melissa did great this morning. Just repeat what she said a few minutes ago. Go up to a student and say, hey, will you just pray the Lord's Prayer over me and let them pray over you? Because I believe that when we cross that boundary where we push into the uncomfortable, where we deny our bubble and we seek God's kingdom, we get a glimpse. And so that's my challenge to you students, to you adults, to you whoever else might be in the room, is to come forward and pray. Right? Too often we walk away from the message, we go, that was good. Yeah, okay. Christ is King. Nailed it. What I want you to experience is the kingdom and the King. And so there's a very clear call to action. Come forward, receive prayer. And I have no idea how this is going to go. They let the youth guy up here. It's going off the rails. We'll see what happens, okay? And if you liked what I said today, I work here. If you didn't, I work at Target, and my name's Brian. they laughed at the final joke. All right, and so this morning, that's the call. That's what I ask of you, is to submit to the authority of God and receive prayer from a student. So students, why don't you come forward? I'm going to pray, and the band's going to take it away. So if you're one of my students, just pick a side. Try and space it out evenly. Yeah. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you. I thank you that one, you are a King and you are sovereign and you are over all of this. And God, that whatever was said this morning, I pray that your word was heard. Not mine, not my opinion, not my jokes, but God, that we heard that you are King and kingdom. And so Father, let us focus on that. Let us pop some bubbles this morning and let us move into your kingdom, your eternity. And it's in your name I pray. Amen.